Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And now, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, it's Gabe Ramirez.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Glad you guys are here. Gabe Ramirez with you till 9 p.m. right here on 670 The Score as we continue to be live and local. We got some Bulls talk coming up later on in the show. We're even going to be talking to Mai Tai guy from the Chicago Cubs Bleacher Bums. He was stopping a fight. But what happened? How did the fight start? We'll talk about that in just a second. But let's go ahead and kick off the show with the trifecta.
Curry, way downtown, bang, bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Three, that's a magic number.
Morrell going to third, he will slide, he's got a triple.
Rose trying to get open, fires away! Bang! It's over! The Bulls win at the buzzer!
That's a magic number.
So, my top three stories of the day may be different from yours, but the good thing is we get to hear about them together. So let's begin with number three.
The number of the day is three.
Aaron Donald and the Rams get into a big old fight with the Bengals. First and foremost, I think to myself, why in the world would you schedule a joint practice between two teams that met in the big game?
How dumb is that, right?
Just foolish. Listen, if I were a member of the Cincinnati Bengals, I would be salivating, waiting for this opportunity because if you're a real athlete, not that I am, but I would assume they'd care more than I do, you would be still cringing at the thought of losing the big game, how close you were. You spent an entire season, and you finally got to that big space. But if you haven't seen the video, Aaron Donald at the very end ends up on the floor tumbling down with two Bengals helmets in his hands. It's kind of reminiscent of the Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph kind of a thing. But the video was taken from far away, and apparently there were some other scrums that were taking place as a lead up to that big one. But then both teams decided to cancel practices as a whole so that way it wouldn't escalate any further. But if you're asking to yourself, oh, okay, well, is Aaron Donald or anyone else going to get suspended for the scrum? No. The NFL looks to the teams themselves to discipline players who engage in fisticuffs during joint practices or anything of the sort. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But damn, let me tell you something. I've seen videos of Aaron Donald. He's the last guy I'd want to get into it. Pads or no pads? That's a hard pass for me. All right, time for the next one.
Finally, we come to my number two man. His name?
Numero dos.
Number two.
Chet Holmgren, out for the season. The number two pick in the NBA draft, suffered a Lisfranc injury while playing in a pro-am game. Now, if you remember, DeJounte Murray of the Atlanta Hawks, formerly of
I forgot he's on the Hawks,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, formerly of the San Antonio Spurs. He tweeted out, and he was like, all my NBA brothers that are out there, please do yourselves a favor and get out to a pro-am because there's a lot of kids that can't afford NBA tickets that would love to see you in person. And so LeBron did. Chet Holmgren did. You saw a ton of guys out there, actually, from the NBA. I mean, even Dalen Terry from the Bulls. You know, DeMar DeRozan's doing his thing. And this is the reason, like, I mean, of course it's easy to point to this and say this is why NBA execs hate pro-ams because these potential injuries can happen. But with this one in particular, it's highlighted and magnified a bit more because if you remember Chet Holmgren, the skinny white dude from Gonzaga, that people were like, he shouldn't be the number one pick. He's too fragile. The guy looks like Sean Bradley, second coming of him, but just a little more skilled offensively. And then all the memes came out. You remember the memes, Sean? They're like, this is Chet trying to, you know, take on LeBron going to the hole. It was like a ton of memes like that. And then it actually happened. The sad part is there was minimal contact on this play. LeBron was just going to the cup. Mind you, it's like 47-year-old LeBron. It's not even prime LeBron. So LeBron, with his body, comes in. He's going backwards, check and handle it, and then you get hurt. It's almost as if I genuinely feel bad for him because I wanted him to at least get to the league and at least play some games. But when it happens this way, it's going to be tough. Now, I did a little bit of research before we get to number one about NBA players who have had the Lisfranc injury, because this is more common in the NFL, not necessarily in the NBA. Udonis Haslem of the Miami Heat suffered the injury in November of 2010. Now, pay attention to the timeline. November of 2010, and he did not come back until May. So, essentially, the entire season, he came back for the playoff run that the Heat were in at the time. A couple of other players to do it didn't have actual, like, tears completely. It was just sprained, so they were able to come back a little bit sooner. So, Chet, though, out for the hole, you dig. Unbelievable. You feel terribly bad for him, but at least OKC might be in the running for the number one pick.
He was number one.
Speaking of number one, my number one story today, Chicago Cubs, unfortunately losing to the St. Louis Cardinals 8-3. Tough start for Marcus Stroman, who Coach Ross said was the surefire ace of this team. He gave up three in the first inning, and then the Cubs cut the lead to one in the bottom of the third. But then all of a sudden, it became the Paul Goldsmith show.
The pitch, ground ball, right field, base hit, pass to Diving Wisdom over toward the right field line. Two runs are going to score. The throw comes in, and the Cardinals now lead 5-2. The 1-1, drilled in the air, trouble deep left field. This is going to be a long home run for Paul Goldschmidt. It left the park in a hurry, his 32nd of the year. Goldschmidt drives one in the air, deep center. Back goes Velasquez to the wall. Long home run. Paul Goldschmidt belts his second of the day. He has driven in five, and the Cardinals break it open. It is now 8-2 here in the...
Even the Hall of Famer, Pat Hughes, is tired of saying Paul Goldschmidt's name. Single and two homers gave the Cardinals an 8-2 lead. Cubs put one more up in the bottom of the eighth. But, man, tough. Lose 8-3, dropping 3 out of 5 to the Cardinals. Cubs now head up north an hour and a half for a weekend series against the Brewers. That should be an interesting one. But 3 out of 5 to the Cardinals. They lost 3 out of 5 to the Cardinals. Sean, as my resident Cub fan, is that okay with you, or is that on par for you?
Honestly, the Cardinals should be kicking the crap out of the Cubs. So the fact that they stayed in that, then that was conversation.
This is Major League Baseball. No.
People
are losing millions of dollars betting on the favorite in every sport. So don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that.
Bears fans.
That's all right, though. All right. There was your trifecta right here on 670 The Score. And this is Gabe Ramirez. Again, we're live and local, man. Broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And, you know, speaking of the Cubs, I mentioned a second ago, we're going to have my guy on, my Thai guy, in just a second, because there was a nice little brawl on the bleachers. And I feel like these happen more often than not. It's like they're not necessarily, if you've been in the bleachers, they just kind of happen. But the reality is it's a pretty jovial place. When you're on the bleachers, you're drinking, you're having a good time. And whether winning or losing, I'm talking about the Cubs themselves, the fans seem to be okay. But then there comes those moments. And if you pay attention to this fight in particular, it was after the game. It wasn't even in the middle of the game. So you know guys were trashed. But if you watch the video as it unfolds, it was probably the softest fight I'd ever seen in my entire life. It's the softest fight I ever seen in my entire life. And you look at these guys and, you know, it's tough because the bleachers, you see the one dude just fall and tumble all the way to the bottom of the stands. And nobody even hit him. He kind of just slipped and fell. It wasn't even anything like that. And I feel bad because you don't want nobody fighting. And then there's people watching. My favorite is when the woman, you see her trying to break up the fight, But then she's like almost escalating it too, like getting people hyped up. And then you always hate to be the guy that's with that girl in that situation because you're like, listen, bro, I don't really want to fight, but this girl won't shut up. And it kind of made it worse. But you know what? We're gonna hear the accounts firsthand from Mai Tai Guy. Is he joining us on the Circuit Resort and Casino? Is that still work? Joining us on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline, Circuit Resort and Casino Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Mai Tai Guy, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on. How you doing tonight?
You know, doing fantastic. So you're a staple out there in the bleachers of Wrigley Field. And so before we get into this particular fight that happened the other day, how often, what percentage of the time are you seeing fights in the bleachers? Give me a percentage, a rough one.
Percentage, I mean, you got at least 30, 40%. I mean, you don't see everyone because they're not always on camera. You see them in the bathroom. You see them in the concourse. You know what I'm saying?
I get it, man. 30% is a lot. 30, 40% is a ton. But that's what I said. It happens out there. Okay, so what made you want to get involved in this particular fight that was happening in the bleachers at Wrigley Field?
Well, I don't want to see anybody fighting. Wrigley Field is the friendly confines for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, we want to make sure everyone has a good time. Young, old, from all walks of life, all different places. That makes me feel good when people can come to a place called the friendly confines and they have a good time. And fighting ain't a good time, especially in the bleachers.
You don't want to go to the friendly confines and have it be the fighting confines. It's a lot different.
Exactly. You know, Mai Tai agreed, guy. Agreed.
So what happened in this particular instance? Were you sitting near them? Were you in the same row as them?
I'm a front row guy, and I kind of heard a little bit of commotion, and then I heard the fist hit the face, that skin-on-skin contact. You can kind of hear that, you know. And a buddy of mine said he heard that a row and a half down. So I don't see any security. I don't see any ushers over there. So I said, all right, well, I got to stop this before somebody else gets hurt or somebody that's not in the fight gets hurt.
Yeah, and it's tough because you have the logical brain at that point. But you have to understand that the guys that are actually fighting in the bleachers are probably wasted out of their mind.
Exactly. And being a doubleheader, too, I don't know if those guys came to both games. They're just a night game. They could have been drinking all day at their house in Wrigleyville, and then they decided to go to the night game and turn into fisticuffs, you know?
So how did it end, Mai Tai Guy? What was the – how did it – did you – I mean, because I saw security came in. I saw some people separate themselves. What did it end like after the video ended?
Well, you know, you just want to get everybody broken up. We don't want anybody to continue the fight. There's going to be cheering and people are going to be talking. So we kind of just de-escalate the situation as best we can. And, you know, the security kind of takes it from there. They don't want to see me get hurt, so they were out there. A lot of the guys know me out there. I'm a season ticket holder for 13 years. So these guys don't want to see me get hurt either. So they're like, hey, man, thanks for helping us, but, you know, we got it from here.
So what would your advice be? Let's say, because Mai Tai Guy, I'm a big fan of solutions, not problems, right? So what would you say to the Chicago audience that's listening if they were to begin to get into a verbal altercation in the bleachers? Like, what would you say is your best advice to those people on how to de-escalate the situation?
I mean, you know, think about it. It's not worth it. I told people the other day, I said, you guys, you can't go to the bar after the game if you're in handcuffs. You know, it's not worth it over a spilled beer for $12. It's not worth your time, your effort, or your energy because there's so many more important things in the world that we got going on today than a spilled beer snake.
The problem is that's a logical statement, and no one's thinking logically in the ninth inning of a doubleheader. It's like
no, that's a fair observation. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's tough. I mean, it's tough, especially when you got a bunch of guys, you know, a bunch of bravado, got the machismo out there. But you know what?
Sure.
I'm extremely happy and proud of you for stepping in that space and understanding that in the friendly confines, we don't want any fighting.
Well, that's very nice of you. I really appreciate that. That's a very kind words. I take to heart. And yeah, like I said, absolutely. It's just not worth it. You know, let's enjoy the game. Let's have fun. Have a few drinks. There's no need to fight. It's if you guys want to fight, take it outside. You know?
Mai Tai Guy, thanks for hanging out with me on The Score. I appreciate you, brother.
My pleasure. You guys have a great night. Thanks for having me on. We'll talk soon.
Of course. We most definitely will talk soon because there will be more debauchery that's happening in the bleachers of Wrigley Field. And hopefully we can get firsthand accounts from Mai Tai Guy when he does stuff like that. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's 670 The Score. If you see him out there, buy him a beer. I know I will. I've had my hothead days in my life, you know what I'm saying, growing up in the city. And I used to go to Cubs games all the time, going to Lane Tech. And, you know, you just, when you're 20-something, because that's how old the guys were, when you're 20-something, it just kind of, it happens like that. You have some brews, you're with your guys, you're feeling good, feeling a little brave, and then the other group is feeling brave too, and you exchange words. And you really don't want it to get to that point. It shouldn't get to that point. Shouldn't be fighting there, right? There's too many people in the city of Chicago that say, I don't want to take my kids to the Cubs games because of the environment. And whether that's a bunch of people being trashed or fights, like you said, 30, 40% of the time, that's a crap ton. But you know what? We're there to have a good time. I'm glad that he was able to de-escalate, and I'm glad that everybody else was able to have fun and enjoy the Cubs game as they should. All right, so coming up on the other side, I had the opportunity to dissect some articles from guys that are formerly associated with the Chicago Bears who were just talking trash. I mean, just literally saying that the Bears have a worse offense than the 0-16 Lions. Who are these two Chicago Bear alumni, and why are they complete idiots? I'll tell you on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez. This is 670 The Score.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Feel free to text in.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
312-644-6767. During this next break, I got crap last time from a texter said I don't read the text messages enough. Well, text your ass, pull out your damn phone then. Shoot a text or two. I'm going to be talking some Bears football, not only with Cam Ellis at 740, or probably 740. But right now, because I don't know about you guys, but I take it personal, like Michael Jordan, when other people talk trash about my team. My beloved Chicago Bears. Because I'm not the fan that's like, yeah, these guys suck and they didn't do enough. No, I'm the fan that's like, we have what we have. It's the NFL. It's a professional sports league. You can't win the big game every single year. So you just have to, you know, ride the roller coaster. And unfortunately, we're at like a lull in the roller coaster. And it is what it is. But to have guys like Jordan Palmer and Mike Martz trash your team in the way that they have, it just doesn't sit well with me. And I get what they're saying, but, and I get that you're going to be asked, but it's how they go about it. Jordan Palmer, former Chicago Bears quarterback, said in a recent interview with Heavy, he says, "I'm not optimistic about how this year is going to go for Justin Fields." Well, there's a hot take if you ever heard one. So is the whole damn world right now, because no one knows what to expect. But he said it's largely because of the personnel the Bears have put around him. What did you want them to do? I think that's my biggest argument when I talk to people. What did you want them to do? Did you think they were going to miraculously pull like two starting wide receivers out of nowhere and somehow come up with five starting offensive linemen that are different from the guys that they had? And then like what did you think the Bears were going to do? What were your expectations? So when you say things like, "I'm not optimistic about how this year is going to go for Justin Fields," you sound like a tool. Come with some solutions. Don't crap on the new GM who had 4 months or whatever it was to put together the squad. This is the NFL. This isn't pickup basketball where you can walk in and be like, "Damn, I lost four games in a row. Let me get a new squad." It doesn't work like that. You have to go through a transition phase. So when you talk about optimism, what are you talking about? His stats? Like, when you're talking about Justin Fields specifically and you're saying you are not optimistic about how this year is going to go for him, what are you talking about? Are you saying you're going to see no growth from Justin Fields? He says about playing in Chicago, the expectations are so high. Yes, they are. The pressure is very real. You felt the pressure. And I'm just shocked at all the things the Bears didn't do to support their young quarterback. Here's the question. If, let's say they did go get a number one receiver. First of all, who were you going to go get? Juju Smith-Schuster? What number one receiver are you going to go get that was going to make some huge difference in the life of Justin Fields? What offensive lineman? So if you went and got one number one wide receiver or drafted one, like a lot of you people would say, and then they, you know, got an offensive line, what, then you would be all optimistic about Justin Fields? Oh, no! It'd be exactly the same. You'd be wondering what product is Justin Fields going to put on the field every single week. That's what, you'd be doing the same exact thing. An anonymous NFC executive also spoke to the Heavy and said, "It's a bad offensive line. There's no getting around that. It's going to be a really long year for Justin, but I still like him, though. When they put enough help around him, he's someone you can win with for a while." See, that is the statement I was looking for. Tell me you don't like what they did at the offensive line position and the wide receiver group, but that you still think highly of him. I'm still optimistic about Justin Fields himself. I don't know. It just didn't sit well with me. And it could be because I'm the homer. That's here saying to myself, "You don't know what you're talking about." Because some Bears players say that they're going to surprise you. And I know that's what they're supposed to say. But I've said it a ton. The Bears are going to win some games that they shouldn't. And the Bears are going to lose some games that they shouldn't. That's what you should expect from this Chicago Bears team. And it's just a matter of how many times they're going to end up on the winning side of the column at the end of the final whistle. It's going to be interesting to see, but it's not just Jordan Palmer that's sitting there trashing the Chicago Bears. It's also not only ex-NFL coach, but ex-Chicago Bear offensive coordinator Mike Martz. Now, to be fair, I had Matt Forte on my show last week or the week before, and he spoke extremely highly of Mike Martz. Said it was the best offensive coordinator he had, but that he didn't come back because he just didn't want to be associated with football anymore. So I'm allowing credibility there, but I do got to throw in the fact that you got rid of Greg Olsen. Mr. Mike Martz, Mr. Offensive Genius, didn't fit my scheme. But he had a ton to say about Justin Fields as well. Essentially mirroring what Jordan Palmer said. It's going to be a rough career for Fields there. I've seen a lot of really good players go to bad teams, and then their career just never takes off. And I think that's what will happen with Fields. Ouch. Ouch.
That's tough, man.
That hurts. For him to say that he's not a quick read and react guy, he's on a horrendous team, but I don't know if I've seen an offense that bad in talent since the 0-16 Detroit Lions. They just don't have anybody there. It's a bad football team right now. You know what could fix a bad football team? Good coaching. You know what could fix a bad football team? A good environment. One where people can see the light at the end of the tunnel or the progression or the growth that the team can make. You can't tell me that professional football players, these guys are gladiators, modern day gladiators. You cannot tell me that with this, first of all, Sean, okay, you know what? There you go. That's my first question I have for you to throw in on the text messages. 312-644-6767. Do you think the Bears are going to go 0-16? It's foolish.
No.
I don't even want you to text that in. That's foolish. How dare you say the Bears have an offense or a team as bad as that one? That's blasphemous. Why would you even go that hard? Say they got a bad team. Say the Bears are bad. Fine. Everybody could agree with that. But to say, like, you haven't seen an offense that bad in talent since the 0-16, like, what? Cole Kmet is trash? Do I sound too much like a homer when I say stuff like that?
No, man. These are players teams would want.
That slipped out of my mouth. Cole Kmet is trash. And I was like, but is he? I thought about it. You're telling me David Montgomery is trash? That's foolish. That's foolish. You're telling me Darnell Mooney, 1,000-yard receiver, trash? False. That's not right. So for me, you're talking about three. And then you're saying Justin Fields is trash. So with those four alone, you cannot tell me that that's not. I'm not saying it's top-tier NFL offense. They're still building it. But when you're talking about who is the core for that group, that sounds like an all right. I'm not saying good. I'm not saying great. But it don't sound like an 0-16 Lions team. We saw that team. We saw how bad they were. Justin Fields is better than Jared Goff. Facts. Facts. And when you're talking about, I don't know, I just...
Didn't that Lions team have like John Kitna and Joey Harrington as their quarterbacks too?
Yeah, it was bad. It was a bad team. So the fact that you say that, and it's hard as a Bears fan to try to defend your team when they are presumably that bad. But I can't emphasize it enough. The Bears won 6 games last year with the supposed horrible coach and terrible offensive line and defense that was aging, didn't have Khalil Mack. And you're telling me that somehow, some way, we have a worse team than that? No. No.
I mean, dude, this is all just bulletin board stuff at this point, right? Like, this has got to be fueling this Bears team, underdog mentality.
Of course. And that's why they're going to win some games that they shouldn't.
That was key. Some games.
Some games. They're going to surprise some people. The defense is going to surprise you some games and create some turnovers. Justin Fields is going to have, or the offense, I should say, is going to do well with ball control. That's how they're going to win these games. Time of possession. Run the ball. And it's not, last year we begged for them to run the ball. We begged for them to get Justin Fields out of the pocket. These were things we were begging for. And now Luke Getsy and Matt Eberflus are saying, we will run the ball. We will work out of the play action. We will create a game plan for Justin Fields that will suit his best skill set. I don't know. That seems like good coaching matched with a team that they understand doesn't have the, granted, you don't have a DeAndre Hopkins. Not every team in the NFL does. You don't have Travis Kelce. Not every team in the NFL does. And I get it. It's a bunch of mediocre wide receivers. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, that's what people say, guys. Not me. Air quotes, mediocre. But fine, at least they're not all trash. Listen, I've watched this Bears team when they've had injuries and they've brought in guys that you were like, who? Who cares about these guys? At least now I've seen the fifth guy on the depth chart play before. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to see analysts trash your team consistently, because I feel like I'm not saying that the Bears are going to the playoffs. I'm not saying the Bears are going to win 10, 11 games. What I'm saying is that the Bears are not as bad as people are making them out to be.
How many of those people have been to a Bears practice too? You know, that's the other thing.
Sure.
It's just like, you know, I get it. The Bears have been bad. They've had poor management. Their coaching's been brutal, but like, this is a new coaching staff from a lot of guys that are well-regarded around the league. Like, yeah. Go watch them practice. All the beat writers, everyone that's come in, like Nate Tice from The Athletic came in last week and saw the practice and immediately was like, this is a revelation compared to what we saw from Matt Nagy.
Unreal. Then March says, he emphasized and said that Fields, if he were to land in a better situation than Chicago, perhaps like the Niners, he'd be better off. Bruh, slap in the face. Slap in the face.
Yeah, but Justin Fields in that Niners offense would be pretty fun.
Shh, 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 shh.
I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying.
Shh, 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 shh. You're going to see what Fields would have done in the form of Trey Lance, the bum. I'm upset, man. I'm really upset just because, first of all, cut this clip and play it my first show after the week one. The Bears are going to beat the Niners. Let's be very clear. The Bears are going to beat the Niners. It is Justin Fields' coming out game. Everyone's healthy. People are trying to play like above and beyond of what they're capable of in order to prove everyone else in the naysayers wrong. And you're not going to tell me that a Trey Lance-led offense by the San Francisco 49ers is going to beat this Bears team.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
As are the 49ers with Trey Lance under center. We're going to see turnovers. We're going to see points off turn. Bears 1-0. Mark it. Lock it. It's going to happen. Take that clip. Play it after week one when I'm on the air.
You got it.
Then they go on to face the Packers. Fine. Whatever. But there's some winnable games in that schedule. Corey Wooten, former Chicago Bears, said 9 wins for the Chicago. No, that's crazy.
I think he said 10.
Did he say 10? Yeah. I tried to give him like a little bit, you know, say.
I see. He's your boy. He's your boy.
He's my boy. I'm trying to make him look good. I don't know, guys. It's frustrating. Are you equally as frustrated as I am when you hear this stuff? Two people in the car was like, no, because I agree with Mike Martz. I know. 708 says, if the offense can just be decent, we'll be close to 500. Yes. Yes. Listen, the defense is better. It's better. Roquan Smith is still there. Jalen Johnson is still dominating. Eddie Jackson is going to be better. It's his contract season. He's going to be better. Jaquan Brisker, if he gets back, we've seen how much of a dog he can be. Kyler Gordon, like, better. Robert Quinn wants to be here. Better. Travis Gibson is a dog. Come on. If the offense can just be decent, we'll be close to 500. I love that. 815 says, those are ignorant hater hot takes. Yes. It's so easy. It's so easy to pick on the Chicago Bear franchise after the debacle that was Matt Nagy and say they're in purgatory right now and they're just not a good team. It's easy to say that. 708. Another 708 says, the defense will be good enough to keep us in games. That's my hope. Close enough. Close enough. Wilson, 708 says, are you taking calls, Gabe? Yes, call. I don't care. Call. I would love to hear what you have to say. 309, Mike Martz is a dinosaur. A little T-Rex with a little baby arms. Yes. So upset. 1585, Getsy will be the most underrated pickup by this team. Sucks he's not going to get a head coaching job, but he's going to make Fields take off. Yes, I love. Thank you. Thank you. Gabe, it ain't because you're a homer. They got in front of a mic and talked smack. I hadn't heard a thing out of Mike Martz in how long? Yes. Thank you. Okay. All right. You guys made me feel better. I love, you know what I love about the night crew? You guys that listen at night, you guys are just as much as fanatics as I am. So when I talk like this, you guys feel me. It burns through the radio, and you guys are hearing it. And I hope that you guys are having these same arguments with your friends that are Chicago Bears naysayers. So that way, we all can laugh in their face when the Bears have 7 victories. 7 victories. All right. We do need a better look and a better observation than what I can do, because my heart only pounds for one thing and one thing only, and that is Bears greatness. But that's why we have experts on the show, so that way they can put me back in my place. Will that defense be better? Are they as bad as the 0-16 Lions? We get the opportunity to ask that question to none other than Cam Ellis. He'll be joining us right on the other side of this. I'm Gabe Ramirez. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Gabe Ramirez.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On 670 The Score.
He did a good job in the end of the game. He played a solid game. You think about that for a second. You know, coming in there for a couple days and then starting in there and then, you know, and playing. We were impressed. He did a nice job. Now he's got to continue to grow at the position. And he has, like everybody else on the team, he's got a lot to work on. But he had a good first outing in there.
Coach Flus talking about Tevin Jenkins right there, going up against the Seattle Seahawks. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I love the fact that they've mentioned since the beginning of training camp that they are looking for the best five guys. And it is up to them as a coaching staff to formulate that and put that together. And if that means plucking from other areas, then so be it. I think as a commoner, I don't understand the difficulties of moving from one side of the offensive line to the other. Or I mean, obviously you're covering somebody's blind side, but positioning of the feet and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm like, bro, block the guy from getting to Justin Fields. But you know what? That's why we have experts on. And joining us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, is none other than Cam Ellis. Cam, what's up, man? Good evening.
Good evening. Hey, how are you doing?
Doing good. So in your mind, from what you've seen, is Tevin Jenkins one of the best five offensive linemen the Chicago Bears have?
Yeah, I think right now he certainly has sort of rounded into the part, I think. I'm not sure if that's more of an indictment on the Bears offensive line than it is an endorsement of how Jenkins has played, so to speak.
Okay.
But I do think there's plenty of credit to be given out to, you know, the coaches for finding this fit, and also for Jenkins to, make the necessary adjustment and look like someone who is a starting right guard.
Yeah. And it's interesting because for me as a fan, Cam, I think, okay, this is great. A coaching staff that actually made a move and it's working out and you're getting the best out of a player. I mean, it seems odd and far-fetched for a Chicago Bear team or Bear coaching staff to be able to do something like that, but it speaks volumes to the staff and what direction they're headed in.
Yeah, I think that this would probably be a little more of a universally a celebrated move if, you know, Jenkins hadn't already tried left tackle and right tackle and, you know, didn't have the mysterious absence from camp. He has had to work from he has had to climb up to get back to the normal bar, if that makes sense. So I think it's a great coaching decision if it works out. It looks like it might work out. You know, the Bears don't have a lot else going for them. And if they can get someone who, you know, you listen to the post-practice interviews and they all talk about, you know, how big and strong and ferocious of offensive lineman Jenkins is. And so the Bears don't have a lot of that right now. And if they can get one of their, you know, highly touted, high profile guys who 3 weeks ago was, you know, being traded to the Seahawks for a 7th round pick, if they can get him to be a quality right guard, like that's a total win across the board, I think.
I agree. I mean, you know, we've watched the tape on him. I mean, not necessarily as a Chicago Bear, but from college, and we saw the power. We saw the grit that he had and showcased. And so it'd be good to get some of that on the field for the Chicago Bears. It'd be interesting to see that. We're talking to Cam Ellis right here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez. And speaking of the coaches and their ability to get the best out of particular players, linebacker coach Dave Borgonzi has been playing some film from Brian Urlacher and Lance Briggs on that 4-3 defense. You think that's a good idea, bringing up old tape, you know, or do you feel like they should have just found some other way to motivate the guys?
Yes and no. It works because it's Urlacher and Briggs, in that they're so objectively good that, you know, any linebacker can learn from that specifically. You know, I think it's fair game to sort of roll your eyes at the famous Bears of teams past routine, because it seems like every coach comes in here and puts in a new attitude, and it ends up just being worshiping old Bears players. Objectively, it works because they were both Hall of Fame caliber players, and I think people can learn from that. But I'm not going to stop anyone from rolling their eyes, because it is sort of the same old Bears routine, if that makes sense.
It is. You feel like, or just like coach speak, right? You pull from somewhere, and you expect it somehow to miraculously. You know, we brought in Peanut Tillman again to show you how to do the peanut punch again. It's like, It's gonna dry up eventually, but you're right. I mean, objectively, they are just monsters, and you want those guys to be able to see stuff like that so they can draw from it. But let's talk about that linebacking group specifically, Cam. What are your expectations from them? We know Roquan's gonna be there. We know he's gonna be playing well, but you got some other guys that maybe might be not necessarily certain what they're gonna be able to give to this team. What's your take and expectations for that linebacking group?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a tough spot for the defense to be in at first. I'll put it that way. You know, I think there's a lot of excitement with some of the secondary guys. You know, if Brisker can get healthy again, if Eddie Jackson can bounce back, people like how Kyler Gordon, like there's a lot of hype there. And I think that sort of exists in a way on the edge too, but with linebackers, it's sort of Roquan and then a bunch of other guys. So I think that the middle of the Bears defense might struggle this year. And I think that if Roquan gets hurt for whatever reason, the Bears are, you know, like they're in a real world of hurt. But I think it's to me, at least, it's sort of the unknown aspect of the Bears defense, just because, you know, you can talk about Jack Sanborn all you want, but preseason games only go so far. And I know they will, that only goes so far. Yeah. So right now, I think it's probably going to be the weakness of the defense. But, you know, some of these guys that Ryan Poles has identified seem to be legitimate, you know, NFL caliber players. So it wouldn't surprise me if they end up somewhere middle of the pack, because I think they could overachieve, but I don't expect the ceiling to be as high as it is for the secondary or the edge rushers.
I hear what you're saying, Cam, because if Jack Sanborn is playing middle linebacker for the Chicago Bears middle of the season, you got some issues there, right?
Yeah.
But there are guys out there that, you know, you do expect some things from, wily veterans that you feel like can contribute. One of them that I feel like many people haven't been talking a lot about, and I'm curious to hear what your take on him specifically is Joe Thomas. What have you seen from him? What have you heard about him? I mean, obviously, it's a new guy to the Bears, so what can you tell fans about Mr. Thomas?
Yeah, you know, just sort of that. I think he's just one of those guys that they're taking a dice roll on. You know, I think it'll be he's flashed some. I think that he's a great example of where Poles stands as a talent evaluator, because there seems to be this group of, you know, 4 to 6 guys that people are sort of surprised about. And, you know, everyone has good camps. You know, these names always come up, but it seems like there's a healthy optimism for the type of talent that Poles has been able to bring in under the radar. And I think Joe Thomas is a good example of that.
Yeah, I think he's going to be great. I mean, I think you're talking about solid guys, right? Not backup linebackers that you're hoping to do well. You're like, okay, these guys have been in the NFL. They've played tons of games, and they know what to do in certain situations. So you're trying to build a defense full of younger guys, some established veterans, and then some NFL caliber defensive guys. So I think that's what the Bears are hoping to get and to have a foundation that they could build on. But, you know, when you're looking at the other side of the ball, Cam, it just seems like everyone's just so down on this Bears team from an offensive standpoint. And we can see why, we know why, but But what do you, I mean, are you just going to tell me it's because of the offensive line, or are you going to tell me it's because of everything, including Justin Fields?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, the games have not looked good for the offensive line right now. So I think if you want to go off of the two preseason games they played, you go, oh, man, like it's going to be tough. I think it's just sort of a depth thing. You know, there's – and that's even before. I mean, all the injuries that have come up in the last week and a half or so. I mean, there was probably a dozen guys that were, quote-unquote, expected to be, you know, starting caliber Bears players that are sitting out right now. I think it's just a depth thing, you know. When you need – Equanimeous St. Brown to produce, when you need Byron Pringle to produce, like that doesn't bode super well for how good an offense is going to be. Maybe there was a world where Justin Fields, you know, brings everyone's talent level up because that's what transcendent quarterbacks do. But I think it just the depth falls off a cliff real quick. And so if guys are going to get injured, it's going to go from bad to ugly, I think. And I think that is sort of the danger of the Bears offense is that so quickly, if one or two people go out, they're going to be a really, really, really bad offense as opposed to just a bad offense.
Oh, man, that's brutal. But it's so real, though, right? Cam is like, they're already bad. And if they lose, just if there's any crack in that offense whatsoever, it's going to be real ugly.
Yeah, they better hope Justin Fields just takes, you know, the leap of all leaps, because I do think, like, if Darnell Mooney has to miss some games, then Cole Kmet's the only guy that can really be relied upon to run the offense like that, that's not going to cut it, I don't imagine, very often.
So you're basically telling me 17 screens a game with the offensive line we have and the wide receiving group that we have. Let me ask you this before I get you out of here. Let me phrase the question differently. How confident are you in the Bears versus the Niners in week one?
I think I'm vaguely more confident than I would be down the stretch, because I think there's always some hype to opening day, the first week one of the NFL season. Like it's there's a certain level of adrenaline that I think coming out and showing off the new offense and all the new weapons and a new Justin Fields, et cetera, and in front of Soldier Field, I think that gives them a little bit more pep in the step. And so I would almost feel more confident that they could pull off a traditional upset. I think it's like 3.5 points or whatever. But I think I like the Bears more in week one than I would in like week 8 or 9, if that makes sense, just because I think they're capable of coming out and playing above their skill level. I just wonder how long that can be sustained over a 5 or 6 month stretch, if that makes sense.
Listen, I just need to win one game. If I'm betting my house, I just need to win that game so that way I could live comfortably for the rest of my life. But if they lose, Cam, I'm going to hit you up so I can sleep on your couch. Cam, thanks so much for hanging out with me tonight, man. I appreciate the insight.
Of course. Have a good one. I'll talk to you later.
Cam Ellis from right here on 670 The Score, joining us on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. I got a couple guys on hold right now. I got Mr. Wilson. I got Jose out in Aurora, one of our regulars. And I would love for you guys to call up all my Bears fans that are just on the road to either agree with me wholeheartedly in Cam Ellis and that the Bears are going to win week one and that we do feel like they're better than what the majority of the nation is, you know, claiming the Bears to be. But I would also love to hear from someone that's a naysayer. I have zero problem with confrontation. It might not end up well, but I got zero problem with it. But I would love to hear, because I like to hear the perspective of the other side so I can then keep an even-keeled mind going into the season. 312-644-6767. Jose Wilson, we'll get to you, and we'll get to your calls as well. 312-644-6767. I'm Gabe Ramirez. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.